Drawings of five pointed stars fall from a painted sky through moving clouds and fly toward a lush green pyramid-shaped mountain. They skim over serene water and form a colorful Ferris wheel around the mountain peak. Paramount. Paramount Pictures presents a Sunday Night Maximum Effort production. In a montage, a brunette woman records with a camcorder as she moves to a living room. She zooms in on a little girl, Bee, painting. A short-haired man, Bee's dad, carries a tea tray. He tosses a sugar cube into a teacup. The woman, Bee's mom, dons a crown and enters a bedroom decorated with paper snowflakes as Bee bounces on the bed.
I remember my mom always asked me to tell her a story. And I never knew why.
Bee runs around the room wearing cardboard wings.
Maybe it was just something to make her smile. To take her away from it all.
Bee sits with an older woman at a piano.
It wasn't until much later that I realized that these stories she wanted me to tell had nothing to do with her at all.
At night, Bee leaves the apartment dressed as a witch with her parents wearing dinosaur costumes. Her dad lifts her.
When I realized that the most important stories we have to tell are the ones we tell ourselves.
Bee watches her parents dance, then blows glitter on a canvas. A Tina Turner record spins on a player. Wearing a wild wig, Bee dances with a mic. Now she performs a magic show for her parents. Cards fly up from her dad's hand. Bee paints a Ferris wheel. Her grandma dozes on the couch. Bee's mom winks at the camera as she strokes her sleeping daughter's hair. Later, Bee moves glitter on a painting. Sitting in a hospital bed, Bee's mom reads to her. Bee hides in a closet in the hospital room. She holds a finger to her lips, then startles her mom. Bee and her dad play with stuffed animals in a pillow fort. Makes a plant appear. Wearing a beanie, her mom strokes her hair. Bee and her dad wave. Bee's dad closes the apartment door. A title appears. If. Carrying a large suitcase, Bee's grandma leads a preteen Bee up a staircase in an apartment building.
I don't know if you saw it coming. He sometimes helps me park the car. I mean, we were lucky to get a park because often by the late afternoon, there aren't any. And then I've got to go round and round the block. And I'm very lucky if I ever get one.
They enter the apartment.
Oh my goodness. I'm scared. Right. Well, here we are. Well, come on in. Yeah, come on in. I mean, nothing much has changed, I don't think. Except, was that couch here the last time? I don't think it was. Well, I mean, I don't know why I'm asking you that, because you were just this high. Right, well, I did a bit of a shop, because, are you hungry at all? I mean, if you... Well, right, will you just tell me if you do? I mean, if you are hungry, because the kitchen is through here.
Bee runs her fingertips along the back of a couch, then sweeps her gaze across framed family photos. One shows a little girl in a heart-shaped frame. In another, Bee's dad kisses her mom's head on their wedding day. Bee stops at a photo of her and her parents standing in front of a Ferris wheel as a man in a top hat gives a balloon flower to her. Her reflection appears in the glass covering the photo. Bee's grandma opens a door to a bedroom.
Right, well, and here we have some fresh sheets and, of course, some fresh towels there on the chair. And over here, you might remember something a little bit special. I kept every painting you did that summer in here. I mean, I could barely keep up with everything that went on in that little head of yours.
Oh, Grandma? I'm 12. I don't really do that anymore.
Of course. Of course. I am just going to put all of this in here.
Bee's grandma puts the box in a closet.
Right. Done. Done. Right, we better get going because your dad will be expecting you. And, you probably want to eat with him. I mean, you could have something here if you like, if you're hungry. Should I get you something? Where are my keys?
Bee's eyes wander around the bedroom as she sets down her backpack. Now, Bee gazes out a car window as her grandma drives through a parking lot toward a large building. She pulls to a stop and looks over at Bee.
I'll be in a minute.
Wearing a visitor sticker, Bee steps out of a crowded elevator onto a hospital floor. She moves into a hospital room and eyes a neatly made bed. Bee steps further into the room, letting the door close behind her. She sweeps her gaze across the room as she approaches the bed. A pair of glasses rests on a book on the bedside table. Bee lifts the hardcover copy of Pride and Prejudice with a bookmark in it. The bookmark bears a drawing of the man in the top hat, holding a balloon that reads, "Smile." She smiles and her dad enters, pulling in an IV stand decorated with a wig and a face.
How are you feeling?
Feel good.
I'll let the doctor know you're here and he'll go over everything with
you. Yeah, let him know I'm here. We'll go from there.
He pulls the IV close.
Whoa, how'd you even get in here? Sorry about her. I'm in no state to dance, that's for sure. But if we were to dance, we're gonna do it for real. Okay, you want it? All right, she wants to go, let's go. We're gonna do it. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, and you got it, go.
The nurse covers a smile as he dances with the IV stand.
Oh, what?
Big finish, come on, girl. We've never rehearsed it.
He dips the stand and Bee claps.
Thank you, judges, be kind. It's the applause that keeps me young. Bee, this is Janet. Janet, this is my daughter, Bee.
It's lovely to meet you, Bee. Your father's told me so much about you.
Nice to meet you, too. What are they giving you?
Oh, this? Magic.
They hug tightly.
All right, I'll let you two catch up. Anything I could get for you, Bee?
Do you want anything?
I'm good, thanks.
Just a burger for me. Extra cheese, bacon, cholesterol.
Dad.
Yeah. Okay, she's right. Broccoli. Just all broccoli. Great. And water, maybe. Sorry, she's usually more fun. So, how was the ride down? I'm really sorry I couldn't be there to pick you up. It was Harriet's only time she could rehearse, and she's a bit of a diva.
Dad? You really don't have to do this.
Do what?
Treat me like a kid.
Ah.
Sometimes life doesn't always have to be fun, you know?
Well, that's true. Very true. Doesn't stop us from trying, though.
They share a smile, and Bee's dad sits down across from her.
But you know what? You're right. Sometimes life isn't fun. Like coming back here. Reminds us of Mom all over again, doesn't it? And maybe even makes you worry that could happen again. But the good news is, I'm not Mom. I'm not sick. I'm just broken.
He reveals a broken heart t-shirt.
And I can be fixed. Look at me. It's a very simple surgery. And I'm gonna be fine. I promise. You gotta promise me something. That you will not hang around here. that you will get out there and have some fun.
He sits with her and they gaze out the window.
I mean, you gotta admit, one day it's gonna make a hell of a story.
What? Living in New York?
Being a kid.
Bea gives him a look. He kisses her head and rocks her gently. Later, Bea sits in the apartment watching a black and white movie while her grandma dozes.
Oh, I'd like that. You know, it's certainly been a long time since we've been for a drive. You're very sweet and thoughtful.
Now, don't forget to wait for me, Elwood. I'll be right there.
Make yourself comfortable, Harvey.
Bea turns, looking past her chair with a frown on her face. She peers around a corner, looking at a closed door. She steps out, slowly reaching for a doorknob. She twists the doorknob and pushes the door open. Bea enters her bedroom and lowers her brows. White curtains flutter at an open window. Bea steps slowly toward the window, and a gust of wind blows her brown hair back. She shuts the window. Bea turns as the closet door opens slightly. She opens the closet and switches on the light. A panel in the ceiling shuts. Bea looks up. Paper snowflakes, a tea set, a flight cap, tiaras, markers, and other objects fill the shelves in the closet. Bea's gaze slowly drifts downward, settling on the camcorder. She grabs it. Turning it in her hands, Bea inspects the camcorder, then opens its screen. She shuts it and briskly descends the staircase of the apartment building. A figure with gloved, four-fingered hands looks down at her over the railing. Lights glow from the interior of a deli shop. Inside, Bea walks through the aisles and approaches a bearded man reading a newspaper behind the front counter. She sets down a charging cable. She leaves the store, pulls the cable out of its packaging, and walks alone down the dark street. A cartoon bug wearing gloves and a tutu scampers behind a tree and watches her from the shadows. The cartoon bug follows behind her. As Bea takes keys from her pocket, the cartoon bug hops down onto the front steps of the apartment building. Bea freezes, and her eyes widen.
Hello?
What? Can you? Hold on.
The bug rushes inside, and Bea follows, seeing the bug hurry upstairs.
I got him. Not good. She's following.
Hey!
Wait!
Oh,
God. So many stairs. So many stairs.
Bea follows up the stairs as the bug reaches the top level. She creeps up the last flight of stairs and approaches a closed apartment door. Bea peers through the keyhole, and an eye appears.
Hello?
Please go away.
I was just trying to say hello to your little girl.
No little girl here. Please go away, please.
Okay.
Bea starts to go, then turns back to face the door.
I just moved in downstairs. and I don't really have anybody to talk to.
An old woman approaches.
Who is that?
I'm sorry, I was just...
Oh, it's you. You better get back downstairs. It's too late to be up here.
Yes, ma'am.
Bea rushes downstairs and into the apartment. She turns away from the door with lowered brows. She steps deeper into the apartment and glances toward her grandma, still sleeping in front of the TV. Bea enters her room where the camcorder rests on the bed. She grabs it and inserts the charging cable into its side. In the daytime, Bea emerges from the hospital elevator holding a bouquet. She passes a room where a bespectacled boy lies with his foot elevated in a cast. Another cast covers his arm.
Hi.
Hi.
Those for me?
No, actually, they're for my dad.
Just kidding. Oh, wanna play chess? TV's busted.
I'm sorry?
It's okay. It's not your fault. That's why my mom got me chess. Checkers.
What happened?
I fell. I fell a lot. This time, I broke my leg and my You know, I just broke my butt.
And your arm, too? What'd you fall from?
Oh. Separate incidences.
Got it.
I'm Benjamin, by the way.
I'm B.
Cool. What does B stand for?
Oh, nothing. My mom just used to call me B.
I like it. Just B.
Well, it was really nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. You know where to find me.
Benjamin gives a thumbs up, and B smiles at him as she leaves the room. She walks into her dad's hospital room, spotting a line of tied-together sheets leading from the bed to the open window. Bea picks up a handwritten note from the pillow. Made a break for it. Don't tell Janet. Good luck being a grown-up. Dad. Smiling, Bea steps to the closet and opens it, finding her dad sitting inside.
Oh, hello.
You have to stop.
Never.
Bea hands him the bouquet and shuts the closet door. Later in Bea's room, she sits on her bed at night watching footage on the camcorder screen of herself as a young girl singing with the wig on. Her parents wave their arms. Bea looks over.
Oh God, oh God. Somebody's there.
The cartoon bug runs up the stairs.
We gotta go right now.
I'm not going anywhere. I just poured some.
It's him.
Oh God.
Bea opens the door and listens, then quickly withdraws as the cartoon bug runs by with a man in a coat. Bea slips out of the apartment and follows them out of the building. They walk down the dark street.
You need the photos out. He's gonna find them.
I didn't say that.
No, it's not. I'm not even gonna listen to this.
I'm sorry.
Because I would never have let him. No. Number one, he's too big. He's just generally just too big. And secondly, everything else is gigantic.
How did he get up there?
Beautiful house. Oh, imagine.
One second floor.
I would never have got up there. Okay, you
just
go.
Just go. Same way.
Bea watches the man scale a fence. He falls over onto the other side. Bea walks across the street. The man climbs onto a garage, then grabs a windowsill and lifts himself up to look through a window. He opens the window.
Oh,
The man pulls himself through the window and falls over a collection of stuffed animals. He pops up, wide-eyed, and looks around at a variety of toys littering the floor. He startles as he spots a child asleep in bed. The man stands upright. Gawking, he creeps forward, stepping carefully among the toys. He nearly loses his balance and catches himself.
Blue.
B watches from the street.
This is it. I swear to God, if you don't answer right now, I'm disappearing.
A closet opens, and Blue, a massive creature covered in purple fur, emerges. It removes a blanket from its cartoonish face and smiles widely.
Hi.
Well, looky, looky.
Okay. I know how it looks, but the truth is, she loves me. We are doing great.
Really? I heard she cried for an hour.
Oh, come on. An hour seems like a little bit of an embellishment.
Do you know how hard it is to cry for an hour? Grab your stuff. We're leaving.
No. You can't take me away. This is the one. She is the perfect fit. I promise.
Did you talk to her?
Well, no. It was hard to with all the crying.
Exactly. That's not a good thing. Did she even see you?
She was about to. Absolutely. I can almost guarantee it. I think.
What happened?
Well, she was putting that creepy doll to sleep.
Yeah.
She stopped. She looked up. She definitely felt something. So I slowly walked over to her, and as I got close, I...
Wait.
Hi.
What are you doing? No. Don't do this. Hey, don't do this, okay? Blue. I swear to God, I will never speak to you again as long as I do this, please. Do not do that. Please. No.
Blue sneeze sends the man flying back. The girl in bed sits up as toys light up on the floor. The man hides under her bed. Blue reaches out to stop a swinging rubber duck ceiling light. Now, the man makes eye contact with Bee as he stands outside the window. She sees Blue's large hand push the window up. Bee turns and the cartoon bug waves.
Hi.
Bee faints.
Oh, God.
Later, Bee's eyes flutter open as she lies on a couch. She looks across an apartment and slowly sits up. A fire blazes in a fireplace beneath a mantle lined with framed photos. Books line shelves above the mantle. Bee looks up at the vaulted ceiling and skylight, then turns her gaze to a gramophone nearby.
I'm glad that I'm the one who found you. That's why I'm always...
She gets up from the couch and walks over to a desk.
Do I love you?
Photos of various children cover the surface of the desk. As Bee picks one up and inspects it, Blue emerges from the shadows beside the desk.
Ooh, I wouldn't do that.
Bee recoils.
What was that?
Just changing the record! He just gets so cranky when people touch his stuff.
Don't touch anything.
See?
Who are you?
What do you mean? I'm Blue.
But you're purple.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was colorblind, so.
Who was?
Well, my kid, remember?
What?
Oh, for God's sake, Blue. Of course she doesn't remember. She thinks you're gonna eat her. Apologies about him. He's the most adorable train wreck, but a train wreck nonetheless.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, would you mind picking our guest up off the floor, please? And sit. Big finger. Lovely. Well done, Blue. Now, let's start over, shall we? How do you like your tea?
I don't drink tea.
What kind of girl doesn't drink tea?
Not helping! I'm Blossom, and you've clearly met Blue.
Me again.
And that is...
She knows who I am. We've met before.
Been a while since you've been up here. Yeah, last time I saw you, you were, smaller.
What is going on?
Yeah, well, that's a perfectly understandable question, given,
Hey.
Hey?
Yeah, hey.
What, we're gonna explain it all right here in a neat little pink package?
We're supposed to try.
Excuse me.
Will you stop poking her?
Sorry. This is just so exciting.
What is?
That you're back.
Blue.
I mean.
That's enough.
The man points.
What is that?
He moves to the desk.
What part of don't touch my stuff do you not understand?
Come on. This was all in alphabetical order.
Did you say your...
And color coordinates.
Kid?
Oh, yeah. His name is Jeremy.
God, I need to hear more about Jeremy.
So that house we were at tonight, that was Jeremy's?
Oh, no, that was different. That was a potential match. And one that could have been successful if it wasn't for you-know-who.
All right, you know what? Do it yourself. Okay? I don't need this. I don't need any of this.
Woo! Okay. This has been quite a day for him. But you... I'm sure you have questions.
So, are there more of you?
Say no!
Yes.
Oh, yeah, lots more. I mean, almost every kid has one. Had one.
Had what?
A friend.
An imaginary friend?
If. We say if.
Get it? Imaginary? Friend? But also, like, what if? Like, anything's possible!
Oh, ouch. Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Her eyes look like they might melt out of her head.
So, what was happening tonight?
Oh, that was a placement attempt with a new kid.
We've started a fledgling little operation.
We?
He.
What kind of operation?
Sort of a matchmaking agency. To help ifs find new kids.
New kids? But what happened to your kid?
Oh, he grew up. He doesn't need me anymore.
He doesn't? That's so sad.
Yeah, more like terrifying. Ooh.
Oh, no.
Because if he doesn't need me,
Blue?
He can't see me.
Blue, over here.
And if he can't see me...
Look at me.
Then all that's left is to disappear.
Blue. Happy place. Happy place.
Coffee and croissants. Coffee and croissants.
Good.
Coffee and croissants.
Good.
Coffee and croissants.
Okay.
Coffee and croissants.
This has all been a lot.
Yes. Yes, it is a lot. For everyone, I think we should call it a night.
I think she's doing quite well, actually.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I think it's all too much, not to mention too late. And I don't think any of us want to be on the wrong side of that door when that creepy witch comes out. You should go.
Oh, come on, Cal, she's just a kid.
I'm not a kid.
Well, that's that.
Arms folded, B walks past Cal to the door.
Good night.
She opens the door and looks back at them.
Good night.
She leaves. In the morning, Bee shoots up in bed as sunlight pours through the window. She glances outside. As she steps out of her bedroom, her grandma dashes out from the kitchen with a frying pan.
Oh, oh gosh, you gave me a fright. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ah, you're off. I made pancakes.
She tries to lift a pancake with a spatula.
Oh, God. They seem to be stuck to the pan. I have some cereal or some grapefruit.
I'm not that hungry.
Well, you let me know. You will. I mean, if you need anything.
I will.
Good.
Bee's grandma watches her go, then taps the pancake.
God.
She returns to the kitchen. Later, Bea emerges from the hospital elevator with another bouquet and walks briskly down the hall, passing nurses and doctors. She walks by Benjamin's room, seeing his bed empty. Bea doubles back and slowly steps inside. She lifts the bed covers, revealing a collection of dragon toys hiding beneath. Bea covers the toys. As she starts to leave, her gaze lingers on a half-full cup of water on the nightstand. She takes one of the flowers from the bouquet, places the stem in the water, and walks out. Now, Bea leaves her dad's room and approaches the curly-haired Janet at the nurse's station.
Is there any food?
Of course. What do you feel like? Real food? Or junk food? Yeah, there's a vending machine down the hall and to the right.
Bea heads that way, then stops in her tracks. Peering out from around a corner, Blue bumps his head on the ceiling. He grabs his head and withdraws. Bea looks away with lowered brows. She follows after him and rounds the corner. As she glances away momentarily, Blue tiptoes past her. She hustles after him. Bea walks into a waiting area and glances around. She looks toward a check-in station, then turns to a crowded elevator as the doors close. Sheets pop up inside a rolling laundry cart. Bea's eyes dart toward the cart and she follows the hospital employee pushing it down the hall. She watches the employee enter a room, leaving the cart behind. Bea pushes the cart down the hall. She glances at a nurse's station and they take no notice of her. Bea stops at a recess in an empty hallway and pulls away linens, revealing Blue's huge eyeball and mouth.
Oh, fancy seeing you here.
What are you doing? Get out of there.
I would love to, but I cannot feel my legs.
Okay, give me your hand. Give me your hand, your hand, give me your hand. Come on, come on, come on. Come on.
No,
come on, stand up.
Okay, wait. Ow, 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 ow.
She pulls Blue out by his hand.
You are strong.
He falls out onto his face.
Can we do it again?
Okay, get up.
Is this a hotel?
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Visiting my dad.
Oh, yeah. Your dad has a broken heart? That must be scary.
What? No, it's not. What are you doing here? I cannot be seen talking to you.
Ooh, why not?
Because there's real people here. I'm gonna look crazy.
Come on. You're just a kid.
Hi.
Bea slowly turns to Benjamin, smiling at her from his bed.
Who are you talking to?
Bea stands alone with her mouth open. Later, she leads Blue to his apartment.
Oh. Woo. Oh.
Open up.
All right.
Open up. I have your thing. What are you, anyway?
An if.
I know that, but what?
Blue gives a toothy smile.
I don't know.
Finally.
Oh, it's you.
Hello.
I wanted to stop.
Oh, that's awful. I'll make tea.
I think she was pretty clear she doesn't... Whatever. Make what stop?
All of it. I don't need this.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, but that's not how this works.
That's not how what works. What is happening to me?
You are the chosen one.
Nope. Let's not give her a complex. She's already enough of a spark plug as it is.
Chosen for what? This whole thing is a curse.
Now you're getting it.
No. You could do so much good. You could save all of us.
All of who? And don't say ifs.
Cal gives Blue a look, and Blue drops to his knees.
You should probably let him say it, or I think his head may actually explode.
Fine.
Ifs. Thank you.
How can I help them?
You can't.
Of course she can. Look, there's nothing we want more than to be with our own kids. But our kids, they've forgotten about us. So we need new ones. You can help us find them.
Like I always say, better to have a new kid than not to have a kid.
He's never said that.
Well, thought it.
So I help you place him with new kids. And that's it? Everything goes back to normal?
Careful what you wish for.
Bea opens a book on Cal's desk titled Memory Lane Retirement Community. The page shows photos and bios of various ifs, including Blue and Blossom.
Then I want to meet him.
Who?
All the ifs, you can try and match with him.
That's impossible.
Why?
Because I can't be seen to take you
where?
To... Nowhere.
You need help.
You have no idea how true that statement is, but not in the way that you're thinking.
After last night, you clearly don't know how to make this whole placement thing work.
Really?
I can help you.
How?
Because I'm a kid.
Well, that's that.
Bea smirks. Blossom and Blue share a smile. Later, Bea and Cal wait for an approaching train on a platform.
Where are we going?
To get help.
From who?
From somebody more qualified. Because this is way above my pay grade.
Cal gestures to Bea and she smiles. Now, Cal and Bea sit together on the train.
I think it's really nice of you, by the way.
What is?
That you're helping them all like this.
Oh, well, I don't have a choice, actually. They never leave.
Bea nods, then lowers her brows.
How long have you been able to see them?
Oh, as long as I can remember.
Where do they live?
Well, live, I think that's a relative term, but you know, normally anywhere kids are or have been.
Is it magical?
Hmm? What?
Where are we going?
Used to be. This is us.
She follows Cal. The train moves away along its elevated track as Cal leads Bea across the street. A sign next to a roller coaster reads, Cyclone.
Wait, I've been here before.
Really?
Yeah, my mom took me here once.
It's all coming back to you, is it?
They stop at the front gate of the Luna Park amusement park.
Wait. Ifs live here?
Hope so.
But it's locked.
Cal pops his eyebrows.
I'm gonna give you a minute to think about that one. Stay here. I'm gonna slip around back, grab us a key.
You're leaving me alone?
You're never really alone. Thought that was obvious by now.
He tucks his hands into his coat pockets and saunters away. Bea looks through the bars, then trails after Cal. Now they approach a swing carousel. Sunlight glints off the metal seats and the gold plates on the central column. Cal grabs onto one of the central plates and pulls it open. Wind blows Bee's hair as she slowly steps forward, staring intently at a spiral staircase leading down a dimly lit corridor. They descend the staircase. Cal approaches a set of metal double doors at the bottom. He goes to knock, then stops himself.
You sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
Because there's no telling who's behind that door today.
Are any of them scary?
Worse. Desperate. Vicky, how are you? Yeah, is that a new perfume? It smells, cake. off boundaries, of course. Here to see El Capitano. Yeah, the old spirit bear. Okay. Look alive.
Cal leads B away from a community board.
Is your daughter living in her mother's house?
That's loud.
No.
B pauses and looks into a room. A person-sized cat wearing a white shirt and a robe sits in a chair watching TV. Cal looks back.
Hey, let's go. Come on.
Cal bumps into a cart and shoves it.
Why is this here?
Hi, Todd.
A large clay creature shaves his face beside a smaller clay animal.
Breath in and out.
A sunflower in a suit sits with a green blob, a cartoon bubble, and other ifs.
Beautiful. Who'd like to start?
Last week I was feeling pretty good. And then this week, I don't know what happened.
It's okay.
I just started falling apart.
Now, here we go.
I mean, cue the violins. Am I right, Terry?
Oh, come on.
Ken, you know she's a viola.
Well, that's not nice. That doesn't make anyone feel good.
Guys, we have to move through this narrative that our kids choose to forget about us. They all go through something that makes them forget.
Oh, I wish I could see him one more time. I wish I could just tell him I'm right here. I've always been right here.
Oh. Hey, whoa. Not the cape.
That is toxic.
It's okay. We'll get someone to clean that up.
Listen, Doc, I'm paying good cash, and this slime ball's taking up all the time.
Doc, I got a question. Is it possible the kids are just the worst? Oh, my God. Is that a kid?
What's that?
Oh, my God.
The bubble pops, and a mannequin teaches art.
What does the skin look like? What does it feel like? Is there light reflecting off the skin? Or is there none? Yeah.
Judith, you can cover up.
Well, let's take five, everybody.
Hey, Cal, you still owe me $20 from that phone party.
Yeah, we said we're never going to talk about that with words. Listen, I need to find somebody, but I need to do it on the quiet, okay?
Oh, hi.
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 Is that?
No. Yes.
Oh, boy.
I need to see Louis. Where is Louis?
Yeah, sure. I think I saw him heading down towards the pool.
Go.
Yeah, sure. No worries. Good luck.
Oh, come on, guys. We've been through this before. It's not snacks. It's art.
A painting has a bite mark.
How does that feel? Regret starting to burble up in your throat?
Hey, Cal.
Good God, Cos.
Who's the girl?
What the hell is wrong with you, huh?
Hey, Tater Tot.
The friend. Why don't you?
What kind of friend?
No. Hey.
We're less stronger than you look.
Hey.
You know I'll find out.
Yeah? Whatever, man.
Well, Kalkendegger!
Starting to see why I live alone.
Keith!
He trips.
What kind of a kid creates an invisible if?
Was he laying down?
Who knows?
Down and up and
a banana
down
wearing a sweatband leads Blossom and a huge gummy bear in pool exercises.
And up and down. Really bend those knees, lady.
Am I looking red?
Yes.
Cal leads B past a reception desk to a sunroom. He steps through the doors and B slows, taking in the lush sunroom.
Come on.
Cal leads her to a large stuffed bear wearing a hat, a button-down shirt, pants, and suspenders. He holds a cane.
Louis, I have someone I'd like you to meet.
Hello, Elizabeth. It's very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
So, did it give you the grand tour?
Kinda.
And what'd you think?
She glances back.
Not quite what I expected.
Uh-huh.
She wants to help with the placements.
Uh-huh.
Louis here is 93. He started this place. He could teach you everything you need to know. Isn't that right, Louis?
Calvin. You know, he wasn't always like this.
Oh, no?
Nah. Old Calvin here used to be a clown. He tell you that?
No.
That's right. Before all this, his only job in life was to make you smile.
Well, not anymore. All right.
You guys seem to have this under control. He'll show you the ropes. Probably have you wax a car or something.
You know, if he's not going to give you the grand tour, why don't you give it to him?
Sorry, what?
This place can be anything you want it to be. All you need is a little imagination.
Lewis taps his furry head. Cocking a brow, Bee looks toward the retirement community and smirks. Cal follows her gaze.
No. Don't do this.
Show us how it looked in that head of yours.
Cal stumbles as tiles flip at his feet. He gawks.
Prisoner of your love.
That's it.
Entangled in your web.
Cal.
The ceilings raise, and a tide of flipping black and white tiles speed toward Cal. He runs and slides around a corner. An astronaut turns, and Blue smiles.
What happened?
Nothing, Matt. Let's just get you back inside here.
That's a deal.
What are you doing, Sneezy? Help me out here.
Something's happening.
Nothing is happening.
A star breaks through a wall.
Yeah!
Get inside.
No. I want to see. I want to see.
In.
A wall falls, narrowly missing Cal. A bakery appears, and Blue sniffs a tray of croissants. Bee and Lewis walk over as Matt the astronaut jumps across the moon's surface.
Woohoo! Wow!
Matt waves as he floats in space. As Cal backs away down the hall, vines emerge from a wall and ensnare him. The vines pull him through the wall. Inside, a unicorn stands in a jungle near a waterfall and a rainbow.
Oh my gosh, it looks like a dream!
You present your case.
Smiling, Bee waves at Blue. As Cal continues down the hall, a jet of fire blocks him. Cal throws up his hands. Two knights clash swords, bringing their blades over Cal's head. A dragon climbs onto a tower and roars at him. Flames glow in its throat, and Cal runs through doors, emerging on a balcony overlooking the pool. A line of cartoony swimmers with flower caps on their heads dive one by one into the water. They do a synchronized swim routine. The swimmers make patterns in the water as a clam rises. The clam opens, revealing Blossom sitting inside with a book. She winks.
Oh, is this the
pool? Wow. Nice.
Whoa.
Bee, Lewis, Blue, the Knights, the Unicorn, and Matt step on the balcony. Backing away, Cal slips and falls over the railing and into the pool. He watches a swimmer casually swim by. He swims for the light at the water's surface. Cal surfaces in an ocean and swims away. He walks onto the beach, passing a T-Rex wearing a baseball cap, T-shirt, and shorts beside a boy. The mannequin fixes the bite mark in the painting of the T-Rex and kid on a beach. Cal climbs out of the painting, covered in paint.
Cal? Whoa. Are you all right?
Whoa. Hey, where'd you come from? No, not the fruit, that's the...
Cal knocks over canvases.
The walking pallet approaches. Steady. Good God, you fool!
An apple posing as a model covers itself with a towel. Cal bows as he leaves the studio. Seeing Bee and Lewis approaching, Cal runs through a door. In a backstage area, a plush alligator runs toward him.
Where have you been? You were supposed to be here 5 minutes ago.
What?
You're on!
What do you mean?
Come on! Get out there!
The alligator shoves him. Now sporting a mullet and wearing a leather jacket, Cal stands on stage with a band and Tina Turner. Bee and Lewis wave their arms in the crowd of ifs. In its room, the cat watches the show on the TV. Tina Turner pulls Cal close and sings in his face as they spin together.
Oh, let's go!
The ifs rush the stage. Wearing her magician's outfit, Bee dances in a line with the Ifs. With synchronized movements, Bee and the Ifs swing their arms and kick out their legs. The clay If and a knight push Cal across the stage. The sunflower spins him. Facing Cal, Bee points. Cosmo, a shadowy If wearing a hat and trench coat, puts a top hat on Cal's head and dances with him. Cal shoves Cosmo away and tosses the hat. Dancing, the mannequin kicks near Cal. The mannequin and the gummy bear put their arms on Cal's shoulders as they dance in a line with Bee and the others. Cal ducks away and holds the snouts of the alligator and unicorn. He pushes them away, and the Ifs lift him up.
Well, look who's back.
Bee steps beside Lewis. The Ifs toss Cal, and he lands in a chair at a bingo event.
You're back.
Is he all right?
Oh, that was fun.
You look a mess.
Your tush okay, hon?
Did you say G4? I have bingo!
Well, that was the weirdest job interview I've ever been a part of. Oh, good. Glad you're having fun.
So does this make us partners?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, shall we? Keith! See you tomorrow.
Cal walks away, leaving a smiling Bee outside the Wonder Wheel. Barges pass under the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, Bee opens her closet and moves things out of the way to grab her sketchbook and markers. Later, she emerges from the hospital elevator with flower bouquets in each hand and her sketchbook under her arm. She sets a small clay fire-breathing dragon on Benjamin's nightstand, then enters her dad's room with a bouquet. He reads a book in bed.
You know when no one tells you about hospitals? There is nothing good to read. How's your story coming?
Oh, I don't have time for that. I got a job.
Okay. I assume I'm allowed to ask no questions.
Nope.
As you were?
Smiling, Bee leaves.
See? We still have a chance.
Lying in bed, Benjamin moves the dragon through the air and Bee passes his room.
Hi. Whoa. You got supersonic hearing or something?
No, I was just waiting for you.
Oh.
She steps in.
TV's still busted.
They should really get that fixed.
Honestly, I think my mom has something to do with it.
Your mom?
Yeah. She says that screens turn my brain into mush. What if she broke it?
Guess what? I got a job.
Wow. Like an ice cream store?
More like a matchmaking agency.
Well, whatever it is, I'm sure you're great at it. Good luck.
Thank you.
Benjamin gives a thumbs up. She starts to go, then doubles back.
Hey.
Yeah?
Have you ever had an imaginary friend?
Nope.
Want one?
Sure.
Bee walks through the retirement home with Cal.
Well, he's about 8 or 9, so I think we prioritize by hobby.
Great.
See if anybody has any experience in magic or fantasy.
Fantasy's a bit of a Pandora's box.
Maybe their person likes superheroes.
Yeah, he does.
Or art.
Yeah, I love art.
Or TV.
I'm not gonna ask you again. Put some pants on, you're freaking everyone out.
Pants.
How are we feeling?
I feel good. You feel good?
Yeah. Good as can be expected. It's your show. Here we go.
Cal and Bee sit with Lewis at a table and open their sketchbooks. They smooth out the pages with identical motions.
You can send them in.
The unicorn sits.
Okay, so just put myself right here. Okay, cut it right. Okay. Perfect. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, hi. My gosh. This is just so exciting.
So, what's your name?
My name is Allie.
Sonny.
Andromedus III, son of
Stephen.
Pop. Because, well, sometimes when I get nervous, I... Oh, dear God.
Pop bursts.
Nothing to be nervous about. You're doing great.
Oh, she's so sweet.
My little girl's name was Tabitha. She named me Uni because...
Because I'm a unicorn. Sorry. Oh, I'm so nervous.
And where are you from?
Originally, Philadelphia.
DeKalb, Illinois.
Spokane?
New Jersey. Save your comments, please.
Mostly Radio Shack.
Let's see, we moved in 83. Oh, no, 84? Yeah, that was rough.
I mean, rough.
Poughkeepsie? Come on, Dad.
Might as well move us to the moon, am I right?
It's not funny.
B and Cal step out from the hospital elevator with Blue, Allie, Uni, the magician mouse, Matt, and the robot. Holding her sketchbook in her arm, B leads the others down the hall as they all walk in slow motion. Blue slips and falls backward. B steps into the doorway of Benjamin's room as he plays with the clay dragon.
Are you ready?
For what?
Anything.
We used to put on shows every day. Sometimes multiple shows.
Look, they kept building me and rebuilding me. You know what I mean? But we never got lasers to shoot out of my eyes.
I'm not gonna lie and say the schedule wasn't brutal because it was, but at the end of the day, to hear the roar of that crowd, God, the uncles. The uncles were the best.
Okay, I got a whole bunch of friends here. You just let me know which one you can see.
Sure.
All right. Can you see this guy?
The mouse uses his wand to make his top hat float, then land back on his head.
Ta-da!
Nope.
Nothing?
No problem.
Who is this kid?
Nothing.
You know, the hardest part for me was maybe bedtime. Look, Mom just didn't get it. I mean...
Okay, let me tell you something about the dark, okay? All kids are scared of the dark. All of them. Even if they don't admit it. And why? Because those nightlights don't do anything. That's why. That's why.
Like, sure, Mom, you got a job to do. You're doing great. But let me ask you something. You put this kid to bed, who's gonna watch over Poughkeepsie?
Can you see this guy?
Okay, here we go.
A superhero dog hovers.
Nope.
What's that? Ask him again.
Ask him again.
Really?
No.
All right, that's it. I got this.
And Mom said too much candy isn't good for your tummy, but I said, oh, my God.
Well, my eyes can taste it.
I'm so sorry.
You don't taste that in your eyeballs?
I can find anyone. Anywhere! Go.
Okay.
But where are you from?
Like I would ever tell you that.
Like he would ever tell you that. All right, thank you very much, sir.
Pretty but thin.
He got my mouth.
Look, you seem like a nice kid, so I'm just gonna shoot straight. In the beginning, I thought, what if he created me as some kind of metaphor? I mean, it's possible that he could be like a legit genius, right? Wrong. It was Arizona, and he was just thirsty. And here we are.
She writes the name Ice. A flaming marshmallow's eye droops as it melts.
Which one?
You know damn well which one. And I just want to say thanks for doing this. It really means a whole lot to everybody. Oh.
The eye drops out.
Nope.
I don't think he knows what he wants. What the hell do you want?
Who's next?
Cal trips and falls.
Keith!
No.
Agree.
That one's just confusing.
Keith's the worst.
At the table, Cal taps B's shoulder and points.
His favorite snack was croissants, which was kind of cheating because his parents owned a bakery right downstairs. So that was convenient. So we had a lot of croissants and bread, carbs, a lot of carbs. Not pasta, which is interesting. But everything else they did make was a delicious smell.
Hey, whoa.
Blue starts to drink ice.
Hey! Okay, you saw this! You see this? Because this is my life in a nutshell, okay?
B pulls Blue near Benjamin's room and Blue waves.
Nope.
Blue staggers away.
Any more?
B turns the page.
No. It didn't work.
sorry.
That's okay. I still have you.
She smiles weakly. Blue walks ahead of Bea and Cal as they arrive at the amusement park.
Being excited is exhausting.
Okay, let's get you to bed.
Bea stops. She glances toward Cal and Blue, then walks over to Lewis, who sits at a bench overlooking the ocean. Cal watches Bea sit next to Lewis, then walks off with a soft frown.
So, how'd it go?
It didn't work.
Well, maybe it just wasn't meant to. All this time spent trying to find new kids, they stopped looking for their old ones.
But their kids have grown up. They don't need them anymore.
All kids need their imaginary friends, especially when they grow up.
But they've forgotten.
Nothing you love can ever be forgotten. You can always go back.
How?
Memories. They live forever, right there in your heart. Sometimes you just need to find a way to invite them out. For me, it's the smell of the sea breeze, or the sound of footsteps tapping on the boardwalk. After that, you just close your eyes, and it all comes rushing back.
Bea shuts her eyes.
L is for the way you look.
Night falls. People in mid-century clothing walk through the brightly lit amusement park behind Bea and Lewis.
V is very, very extraordinary.
She opens her eyes and looks around.
Is even more than anyone that you adore can love.
She stands and holds a hand out to Lewis.
To you, love.
Shall we?
Is more.
Thought you'd never ask.
He takes her hand, and they walk together toward Luna Park as the Wonder Wheel slowly spins.
Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you.
Uni runs after two girls.
Wait for me!
A fuzzy if in a suit waves at the entrance. Bea and Lewis share a smile.
Pretty good, huh?
A man in a top hat hands Blossom a balloon flower.
Is that a flower?
Oh, mine! I want to try.
Thank you, my good sir.
Look at this.
It's for the wind.
The clay if and Allie eat cotton candy. Wearing a mustache, Blue buys candy apples and popcorn. The superhero dog flies off and the flaming marshmallow rides a carousel.
Extraordinary is even more than any.
Holding a lollipop, Matt rides on the gummy bear's shoulders.
Here's all that I can
fantastic.
Give
can I have
to
one
you. Love is more than
stuffed
just
bears
a
dressed
game.
Identically to Lewis hang above a carnival game. Sitting alone in his dark hospital room, Bea's dad watches footage of himself with Bea and her mom at Luna Park on the camcorder. In the footage, Bea grins wearing heart-shaped shades. Bea's dad smiles, and Janet steps into his room.
Night's out. You should get some rest. We've got a big day tomorrow.
Why? What's happening tomorrow?
You gotta stop.
Never.
At the apartment, Bea eats pizza with her grandma at a table.
Because there I was, having my final swim before getting to the airport. Now, normally you just go up like that, don't you? Just go and legs up. I could not do that because I had a broken leg. Now, do you want some more of this? Because I didn't know what flavor you like, so I just got everything.
No, it was great. You did great.
Good. Right.
Grandma, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
you want to be when you were a kid?
Well. What? Gosh. Well, that is a good question. Well, I... I always dreamt of being a dancer.
Really?
Excuse me, don't look so surprised. Your grandfather thought I was quite fetching.
So he saw you dance?
Of course. I've got something here. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Bea's grandma grabs a framed photo and brings it over. In the photo, a silhouetted dancer stands in a tutu.
That's your grandmother.
You're beautiful.
Yeah, well, he felt so. Actually, I was shaking my boots that day. Or my slippers.
You were?
Yeah, I mean, it was the most important day of my life because they already had, I think, 6 schools were chosen to perform across the river in just this beautiful little theater. And I still remember the sound of the wood on the floor creaking. And the music just tumbled from the orchestra, just like a wave. And how the dust caught the light as it fell. And it made me feel like I was in a dream.
Oh. So what happened?
Oh, my dear girl, I grew up too tall, too awkward. Too old. I mean, let's be honest. Who wants to see an old woman dance? Now, get you some dessert. I have some ice cream.
Bea smiles and looks at the framed picture as her grandma clears away plates. Bea's smile fades and she squints, then hurries off. Blossom peers out from the background of the photo. Cal opens the door of the upstairs apartment.
Oh, miss us already?
Is she here?
Who?
Blossom.
Oh, hi. I only made enough for 2. I'll make more.
You're hers.
Ooh, is this a riddle? I love riddles.
My grandmother. You're her if.
Well, of course I am. Devilish style, adorable accent. I'm surprised it wasn't obvious, to be honest.
Then let's go. She's right downstairs. She won't believe it.
It's not for lack of trying.
I've been down there with her every day. I read with her. I watch TV with her. I even went through her Pilates phase with her. She couldn't see me.
There's nothing you can do if they can't remember.
Then we have to help her.
Cal follows Bea's eye to the phonograph. Now, Bea leads a tentative Blossom into her grandma's apartment.
Elizabeth. Bea.
Shh.
What are you doing?
Bea points, and Blossom crouches behind the couch, peering over it. Bea wipes dust from the top of a record player and lifts the lid. Bea flips through vinyl records and stops on a recording of Spartacus. She pulls it out and looks over the cover, then slips the record out of the sleeve. Bea places the record in the player and sets the needle. She joins Blossom behind the couch.
What are we doing? This is ridiculous.
What on earth are you up to? Bea?
Bea shushes Blossom.
Bea?
Bea's grandma steps over to the record player. Bea and Blossom peek over the couch. Bea's grandma reaches for the needle, then hesitates. She draws her hand back, running her fingers along the edge of the record player. Bea watches Blossom stare intently at her grandma. Bea's grandma faces a window and sets down a rag. She touches her hand to her forehead, then extends it fully out to her side while tilting her head. Bee's grandma moves rhythmically from side to side, swinging her arms and throwing back her head. Blossom and Bee's eyes widen. Bee's grandma lifts her arms into the air and spins with tiny steps. Blossom looks down as her body begins to glow. Blossom beams at her glowing hands, then stands up. Blossom dances, precisely mirroring the motions of Bee's grandma. Luminous butterfly wings extend from Blossom's back, flapping gently. Cal watches from the door. Bee's grandma and Blossom swing their arms low, then raise them up into the air. Cal watches admiringly, with his hands in his pockets. Still facing the window, Bee's grandma spreads her arms, flaps them like wings, then holds them in the air. She slowly lowers her arms and brings her hands to her chest. Bee's grandma brings her clasped hands to her lips. Shining brightly, Blossom does the same, then smiles at Bee. With a warm expression, Cal steps away. In the daytime, sunlight pours in through the window in Bee's room. She looks outside, then sits on the bed, fidgeting with her hands. Cosmo pops up outside the window.
Oh my God, where have you been?
This is a room. I like it. Old school. I found him. Works in the city. Told you I could find anyone.
Anywhere!
Good luck, short stack. It's all up to you. Cook and dagger! Hope this works.
Cosmo sets a file labeled Top Secret on the windowsill and disappears. Bee takes the file, smirks at it, then leaves her room. Holding the file, Bee leads Blue by the hand past Radio City Music Hall.
It says we should be on the next block. We gotta hurry.
Okay, so let's recap this. So we're actually going to see him?
Yes.
Oh, okay, wow. Like, see him right now.
Not if you can help it.
Okay, but, you know, how do we even know it's him?
It's all in the dossier.
Blue views a photo.
Yep, that's him.
Oh, boy. Ah, wow. I am not ready for this. I think I'm going to be sick.
Oh. What, you see him?
Hey, he's on the move. Come on.
What? Where?
Let's go, 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 go. Double time.
Oh, I should have worn a suit.
They follow the portly bearded man from the photo as he hurries across the street and into a bakery. He mouths to himself.
Next!
He hustles to the counter and Blue presses himself against a window.
Oh boy. He looks great! Wow! Look at him! So fit! He used to look, well, more like me. Oh, looks like he's done something to his hair.
I think that's sweat.
I am so emotional.
Now's our chance.
They hurry after the portly bearded man. Bee, Cal, and Blue step into a hallway leading to a bathroom.
Okay, gotta go in there.
Wait, what? I can't go in there alone.
And you go with him.
Oh, no, I'm afraid that's not on the menu. I wouldn't say that public bathrooms are my worst nightmare,
please.
But they're definitely up there in the top one. And she's breached. Get in there. Come on.
The portly man emerges from a stall and goes to a sink. Blue creeps in as the man eyes his reflection.
20% of the third quarter next year. 20% of the third quarter next year. How is that possible, you say? How is that possible, you... Come on, man, get it together.
Bee looks out from a stall.
In the third quarter of next year.
This is
20% in the third quarter of next year. How do I know that's possible?
How do
adrenaline as possible, Reed.
You got this. Hey, you're fine.
Blue reaches out.
Don't you cry. Please, don't you cry. Come on. Look at me. Don't cry.
Blue sneeze causes the man to knock over his coffee and fall to the floor. The man scrambles up as the sink sprays over him. He rushes out.
How'd it go? Oh my God.
Come on.
Bee hurries out and Blue frowns at his reflection in the coffee-splattered mirror. They walk outside.
I blew it.
Gross. Come on.
Oh God, is this it? Cal, am I disappearing?
Pretty sure that's not how this works.
Oh boy, I think I need to throw up.
Well, give it our best shot.
It didn't work. I don't understand. They were standing right next to each other.
Okay, yeah. I need to throw up. Or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Maybe the mood wasn't right. In fairness, the music was terrible.
Yeah, I definitely need to eat something. I'm starving.
That's it.
What's it?
Don't lose them.
Bee grabs the file and sprints off. Cal watches the portly man hustle across the street. Holding a box, Bee leads Cal and Blue off an elevator and into an office waiting room, where the man sits looking over a portfolio. Bee looks up at Blue and nods toward the man. Blue lumbers toward him, and a receptionist looks over at Bee.
Can I help you?
Yes. I'm here for a delivery.
Bee holds out the box. Blue takes a seat on the couch next to the portly man, and the man doesn't look up from his portfolio. Cal winks at Blue and sits down on another couch. Bee smiles at Blue and sits in a chair, setting down a clipboard. The paper on the clipboard shows an illustration of Blue with Jeremy listed as his person. Bee opens the box, revealing croissants. The portly man, Jeremy, blinks and slowly lifts his gaze from the portfolio. He glances at Bee, then quickly looks down again. Bee lifts a croissant from the box and takes a bite. Jeremy looks over and Bee smiles while chewing. She shares a look with Blue, and he turns to face Jeremy. Jeremy and Blue shut their eyes, inhaling and exhaling with the same rhythm. Blue's body begins to glow. Blue opens his eyes and marvels at his glowing hands. Bee and Cal watch closely. Glowing intensely, Blue turns to Jeremy, who still holds his eyes shut. Blue slowly reaches a furry hand toward him.
Mr. Griffith.
Jeremy startles.
They'll see you now.
The glow fades from Blue's body as Jeremy shuts his portfolio and looks anxiously toward a door. Jeremy pushes himself up and heads toward the door as the others watch him. Bee and Cal look at Blue. Blue thinks for a moment, then gets up and follows Jeremy. Jeremy stops, standing frozen outside the door. Blue steps up behind him. Blue places his massive hand on Jeremy's shoulder and begins to glow. Jeremy breathes deeply and his eyes mist over. Cal and Bee watch from their seats, and Bee smiles. Blue and Jeremy shut their eyes. A mirror shows their reflection. Jeremy opens his eyes.
You're okay.
Jeremy smiles.
Okay.
He confidently moves into the conference room.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for seeing me today. Really excited to be here. I think it's going to be a good one.
Still glowing, Blue beams. B taps a touchscreen next to the elevator.
Wow. I mean, that was just so...
Kneeling, Blue wraps B in a hug. Cal starts to open a glass door to join them, then pauses, watching. He grins softly. B smiles up at Blue, then nuzzles into his furry body. The receptionist looks over, staring as Bee stands, barely touching the ground with her feet. Bee waves. Later, Bee, Cal, and Blue enter the retirement home's community room. Other ifs jump up and down under balloons reading, "Congrats." Blue joins the ifs. Louis smiles warmly and winks at B.
Congratulations. You did it.
We did it. I think we make a pretty good team, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Cal and B gaze at one another. Later, they walk down the street to the apartment building.
Okay.
Did you do the bracelets?
Yes, of course. Yes. My whole arm was, like, covered in them. Oh.
Cal dances up the front steps, and B does the same. Cal kicks open the door and bows with a flourish as B enters.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, Bee goes to open the door to her apartment, and her grandma opens the door.
Oh, where have you been?
Sorry, I was just out with some friends.
Come inside, come inside.
It's okay, Grandma. I'm okay, I promise.
Not you. Your father. I'm sure he's okay. Just get whatever you need, and we can talk in the car. He's where are my keys?
Bee runs out and knocks on the upstairs door. Cal opens it.
I can't do it. I just can't do it.
It's okay. You're okay.
I need you to help me.
Hey. Right here.
I just can't do it again.
You can't do what?
Say goodbye.
Cal tilts his head and kneels, looking B in the eye. He nods softly.
And don't.
B tears up.
I don't know what to say. What do I tell him?
You just tell him a story.
Tears fall from her eyes, and she throws her arms around Cal. Frowning deeply, Cal holds Bee close as she sobs.
Thank you.
Cal shuts his eyes and holds her tight. Bee hurries through the hospital hallway with her grandma. Blue, Louis, Cosmo, Blossom, Allie, and the rest of the ifs line the walls. Bee runs. A hospital worker approaches Bee's grandma. Bee bursts into her dad's room as he lies asleep in bed. Janet faces her.
Bee. Hey, your dad had a long day. He just needs some rest.
Janet nods at Bee and leaves the room, shutting the door behind her. Bee slowly approaches her dad's bedside, fidgeting with her hands. She sits in a chair beside the bed and takes her dad's hand. She looks at him and smiles.
Hi. So, I've been working on that story.
And I'm ready to tell you now. It's a story about a little girl. A little girl who was so sad and so scared that she did everything she could to block the world out, so she'd never have to feel anything again. But she couldn't. She couldn't because she has this person. This magical person. That no matter how hard she tried to push away, no matter how hard she tried to grow up, he wouldn't let her. He would just keep holding on to her. Tighter, tighter. And the funny thing is, that's the only place she truly feels safe. It's the only place she ever wants to be.
A tear runs down Bee's cheek, and she bows her head.
So you can't go anywhere. I'm just a kid. Please, Daddy, please.
Bee lays her head on her dad's hand.
That's a really good story. What happens next?
Bee throws herself onto her dad's chest, and he wraps his arm around her, stroking her hair. Emerges from her dad's room.
He's awake. He's awake.
Bee and her grandma hug tightly as nurses rush into the hospital room. Bee's grandma smiles and rocks her. Bee's smile fades as she looks down the hallway. She moves down the hallway, seeing it void of ifs. Bee's eyelids flutter. Sunlight beams through a skylight at the top of the apartment building. Holding a box, Bee reaches the top of the stairs. She stands outside the door of the upstairs apartment.
Hey! Open the door.
Hello? Who's there?
Open the door.
The old woman walks over from another apartment.
Are you trying to get in there?
Yeah. My friend lives here.
Your friend?
He helped me, so I just wanted to tell him thank you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
The old woman unlocks and opens the door.
There's no one in there.
Bee stares inside the apartment, now filled with clutter. A tea set sits on a table in the middle of the room. Now, Bee sits on her bed, looking downward as her dad packs up things from the closet behind her.
All right. I think that's everything. Hey, we can always come back.
She smiles at her dad, and he wheels a suitcase out of the room. Bee drops her gaze back to the sketchbook in her hands. She flips through the drawings of Blue, Blossom, and Lewis. Carrying a backpack, Bee descends the front steps of the apartment building and walks across the street to join her father at a car. Bags fill the trunk.
Got everything? Mm-hmm. All right, I'll be right back.
Bee's dad heads back toward the apartment building. Bee shoves a bag to make room for her backpack and knocks over the art box. The box topples to the pavement, spilling its contents. Bee hastily starts putting things back in the box, then pauses as she lifts a photo of her mom holding her hand at the beach. She gazes at it for a moment, then continues putting things away. She lifts an abstract painting, revealing a crude painting of Bee, her dad, and her mom standing in front of the Wonder Wheel. She eyes the painting, then unfolds the side. A smiling clown wearing a black coat and a top hat holds a balloon beside the family. Painted letters spell out Calvin next to him. Bee's eyes widen as they dart over the painting. She runs back to the building and up the stairs, passing her grandma.
Oh, I was just coming to say goodbye.
Her grandma frowns, watching Bee ascend to the top level. Sunlight shines brilliantly down through the skylight. Bee reaches the door to the upstairs apartment and stops. She slowly grips the knob. She opens the door, revealing the cluttered apartment, and enters it. Bee unfolds the painting and looks down at it. Tears fill her eyes.
It was you. It was always you. And I'm so sorry that I didn't remember sooner. You're probably thinking that I don't need you anymore. That I've grown up. So I just had to come tell you that I'll always need you. Especially when I grow up.
Bee smiles, misty-eyed. She sets the drawing on the wooden floor and looks up.
All I have to do is close my eyes, and it all comes rushing back.
She closes her eyes. She concentrates without moving. A gloved hand holds a balloon flower out to her. Cal smiles down at her, wearing a suit, a top hat, an oversized bow tie, and a flower in his lapel. The other ifs all stand behind him. Bee opens her eyes and looks up at Cal. She beams and throws her arms around him. Cal hugs her tightly as he begins to glow. Blue holds out a hanky. Cal and Bee look over at him.
Gross.
Bee walks to the front door.
When I was little, I remember telling a story. And as I get older, I often find myself looking back, questioning certain details. But every time that happens, I always remind myself to take a breath.
She steps outside.
And simply ask myself, what if?
They'll be fine. She'll be fine.
Bee's grandma watches Bee and her dad drive off.
So, shall we go in?
Blossom smiles.
Oh, God.
A title appears. If. At the deli, the bearded employee walks through the aisles using a sticker gun to put prices on bags of chips. Cal saunters over with a file. Items spill from the shelf behind the man, and he turns. Cosmo leaps out and grabs him.
Deli, I'm back!
You look great.
Love the beard. How old are you?
Pumpkin Dagger!
Whatever.
Uni hesitantly follows Cal out of the office elevator. He beckons her. Uni's eyes widen, and she plants a huge kiss on his cheek. Grinning, Cal leads her forward. She approaches the conference room as the receptionist lays papers at the seats. Uni makes a rainbow using her hooves. The receptionist stops, stares at her, and covers her mouth. She smiles. Uni waves and begins to glow. Looking at her phone, Janet walks across the hospital parking lot. She looks up and sees Allie sitting on the hood of a car with the star. Allie glows. Janet breaks into a huge grin and hugs Allie. Allie shuts her eyes as they embrace. Standing nearby, Cal shuts a file and moves on. Benjamin sits on a bench watching other kids play in a crowded park as a shadowy figure flies behind him. A dragon wearing doctor's clothes, bulky glasses, and a head mirror flies over and sits beside Benjamin. Their eyes meet, and they push up their glasses at the same time. The dragon glows.
Hi.
Bee's dad lugs bags into their home.
I'm not sure I even know what these roll is.
Should have admitted it earlier, but hey, is that heavy?
A little bit.
Oh, it is. Okay, great. Don't worry, I got the rest of it. Okay.
Bee's dad trips and pops back up to his feet.
Hey, Keith.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Cut to black. Opening credits continue. Kaylee Fleming, Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., and Steve Carell. Alan Kim, Liza Colon Zayas, music by Michael Giacchino. Casting by Trisha Wood, CSA, Jennifer Smith, CSA. Choreography by Mandy Moore. Co-producers Alexa Ginsberg, Jess Kidd, Michael Lerman. Animation supervisor Arslan Elver. Visual effects supervisor Chris Lawrence. Costume designer Jenny Egan. Edited by Christopher Rouse, ACE, Andy Canny. Production designer Jess Goncourt. Director of photography Janusz Kaminski. Executive producer John J. Kelly. Executive producers George Dewey, Kimberly Nelson Lacasio. Produced by Allison Seeger, PGA, John Krasinski, PGA, Andrew Form, PGA, Ryan Reynolds. Written and directed by John Krasinski. End credits roll. Pictures Corporation did not receive any payment or other consideration or enter into any agreement for the depiction of tobacco products in this film. Copyright 2024 Paramount Pictures Corporation. All rights reserved. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. In several scenes, Lewis turns, tips his hat, and winks. Fade to black. In loving memory of our friend, Lewis Gossett Jr.